Tonight we're going into the book of Ephesians, launching from that passage in 1 Peter 5 and 8 that our adversary is of a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We are to resist him steadfast in the faith. Ephesians 6 and 10 starts off and it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Now, Paul is saying, "Finally, I'm not. All right, I'm not done." Amen. Praise God. We still got a few more lessons in this, but Paul says here, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand," verse 14 just simply says, "stand therefore." Amen. Stand. And so that's what we're going to discuss and talk about a little bit here tonight. Praise God. Resisting in order to recognize, lesson number 6. Praise God. I want the Lord to help us here today. Amen. I want revelation to come down upon us to help us to be able to understand and get a hold of some things. Praise God. Would you lift your voice and would you help me pray here tonight? God of heaven, we love you. Praise the Lord. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord and just thank him? Oh, God, you're good. We magnify you, Jesus, lifting you up. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise God. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Bible teaches us that there are some things that we are going to have to be able to withstand. We've got to be able to resist them. We've got to stand against them. We cannot give place to the devil. Amen. And in giving place to the devil, we cannot be ignorant of his devices. If we are not ignorant of his devices, then chances are we're not going to give place to him. Praise God. And so Paul starts off in this passage here, finalizing the letter unto the church that is in Ephesus. Paul begins to write this final little spot here, and he begins to say that we ought to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the trickery, the cunnery, the strategic ways of the devil. And then he just simply says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. Praise God. That is something that we must put into our vocabulary. We do wrestle. We do not wrestle flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against some things. Praise God. Amen. If you're not wrestling, you're probably not in the will of God. If you're not fighting, amen, the enemy, then you're probably already overcome by the enemy. Praise God. Amen. It's time to get your head back in the battle and do what the Lord would have you to do. And so he says that we wrestle against principalities. This is the beginning of things. There is actually a hierarchy that is established in this setting of scripture here, that and the principalities would be the highest. It is the first of all things. Amen. Praise God. It is the beginning to begin, beginning in the first, the rule. It is the chief ruler or the magistrates. It is the high-ranking governing authorities who are under Satan's control. And then there are the powers, the Greek word, the exousia, which just simply means that it is the delegated authority. And then there are the rulers of the darkness of this world. This is the world rulers, the prince of the age. And then spiritual wickedness in high places or in the heavenly regions. Praise God. I just want to say this here tonight, amen, that I understand that Paul has says that we wrestle against principalities and powers. And these are some great forces. These are some great spots that are established, some strongholds. They are bulwarks. They are entrenchments. They are established areas that are in the spirit that we are and that we should be able to come up against. But in all reality, there's really no need to be concerned about the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness and the spiritual wickedness in high places if you cannot overcome some of the smallest temptations that are in life. Amen. You're never even going to make it to all of those other things if you're not able to tell the devil no in your current situation. Now, there are that we ought to press forward and to push into these areas so that we could be able to fulfill the will of God, because we must understand that the will of God is on the other side of what we have already described and talked about here tonight. But there are these spiritual wickedness, these entrenchments, these battlements that are strategically placed to prevent us from going further in the will of God. Amen. Beyond all of these, there are several other echelons of demonic forces. We could read about demons of possession and how that they possessed people. There are demons of oppression. There are spirits of infirmity. There are buffeting spirits. As a matter of fact, if you were to get your Bible and to do a search on those people that were vexed with spirits, amen, it would list as you go through here. The English translation just simply translates it out, vexed with spirit, vexed with spirit, vexed with spirit. But when you go into each and every one of them, many times they are different Greek words and they mean different things. So for instance, one of it means to suffer because of. Another one is to move and to harass. One is to oppress. One is to wear down with toil. One is to torture with pain and torment. And another is to exercise dominion against. And so there are varying ways that the enemy is able and capable of vexing our spirit. And we've got to be able to understand this and recognize this so that we would be able to resist what the devil is doing. I want victory in my life. Amen. I want victory in my life. I want to live victorious. Amen. I don't know of anybody that desires to walk around with their head hanging down. Amen. Singing the songs of defeat. Amen. We all want to be victorious. There's not a sporting team that's out there that says, oh boy, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We're going to go lose again today. Amen. They may think that they're going to lose, and they may know that they're going to lose, but they ain't happy about it, all right? They ain't happy about it. Everybody wants to win. Praise God. Amen. And one of the ways and the orders and the ability to be able to win is you've got to understand your foe. You've got to understand how that he is coming against you. Amen. His plans, and even though that he has trickery up his sleeve, you've got a God that is able to expose every area, amen, that he would use. And so Paul would go on. Paul talked oftentimes about, amen, warfare. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, you will find lots of scriptures concerning warfare. And all these people that think that living for God is peace and peaceable and just all of that. Amen. Yeah, amen. You understand that there is an enemy that is opposing you, that is against you. When you came to an altar and gave your life to God, when you repented of your sins, when you were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, taking on his name in baptism, when you were filled with the Spirit, amen, God filled you with the Holy Ghost, you became a mortal enemy to the enemy. Why? Because not only are you now saved, but you possess the capacity to cause him trouble by inviting others to be saved and sharing this gospel. And so there is opposition. He says, well, I didn't feel any of this opposition before I came to church. There you go. That ought to be one fine big clue to you that you finally, amen, or that you're doing something right, and now you have an enemy that's like, hey, I don't like what you are doing. Praise God. And so Paul would write in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 3, and he would say that for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. Let's just stop and back up on that. And I probably should have just broke it down as we went. Amen. You must understand that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. These are things that we have got to keep in mind. We've got to keep them at the forefront of this. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Everybody understand that? Amen. Praise God. I wish that everybody understood it like it's supposed to be understood. Amen. Because we do not war after the flesh. My battle is not with Brother Henry. My battle is not with Brother Garrett. My battle is not with Brother Daniel. My battle is not with Brother Gavin. My battle is not with any of you that are in here. Amen. And if I have that mindset, if I have this mentality that I am battling you, then I am out of the will of God. Amen. Praise God. Because it's not the will of God for us to fight, bicker, amen, among ourselves. That's not the will of God. And when this happens, we need to recognize it, and we need to stop it. And God has put things within the scripture to help us make it right. We walk in the flesh. I have to live with Brother Garrett. I have to live with Brother Daniel. I have to live with Brother Josh. But I don't war after them. They are not my battle. They are my brothers. Amen. There are those in here today. You are my sisters. I have to pray for you. I need to lift you up. But my battle is not with you. My battle is with the enemy. I must bear that in mind at all times, because the enemy is going to come in and try to stir up strife. The enemy is going to come in and try to stir up dissension, stir up gossip, stir up feelings, amen, that are not good. You've got to be able to recognize this and put it down. I'm just telling you today that the enemy will do everything that he can to stop a church from having revival. A church isn't going to have revival when they're bickering and fighting among themselves. They will devour one another. You've got to be able to recognize that. And if that spirit of dissension, that spirit of strife stirs up, maybe it stirs up in somebody else and it's coming against you, you just resist it. You be a Christian at all times. But if that spirit is working through you, you've got to recognize that. You've got to suppress that. You've got to resist that and put it down, and don't let the devil work for you. Amen. Don't let the devil kill your revival, and don't let the devil kill the church's revival. We walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Praise God. And then it said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Let's stop. Bringing down, casting down imaginations. Amen. We need to remember, we are not warring after the flesh, but it's after the spirit. There's a spiritual warfare that's going on. So I'm not talking about this imagination of, oh man, I'd look really good driving a bright red Corvette. I can just imagine myself. Brother Worth thinks so. We're imagining together, okay? I get caught up in La La Land driving my little F-150 thinking I'm driving a Porsche. I'm not talking about that imagination. Why? Because that's a fleshly imagination. Our battle is not in the flesh. It's in the spirit. There's warfare going on in the spirit, in the places that we cannot see. There's things that's got. Sometimes I wish that we could take that, you know, those old shades. You know, they was like one piece until they got so dry rotted and sun baked, you know, that they all fell apart and cracked and stuff like that. But you could take them and you'd like pull it down just a little bit and they wouldn't work. And then finally, it'd go up. Sometimes I wish we could do that in the spirit. Just kind of see into the spiritual world. Twist the blinds a little bit and open them up so that we could see into the spiritual world, so that we could see what we were fighting. Yeah, yeah, and you know what? That happens at times. Look at the individual that was with the prophet. I don't remember if it was Elisha or Elijah, but he was with the man of God. And he stepped out and he was able to see in the spirit. And he said, whoa. Well, at first he was able to see in the flesh. He's like, we are surrounded. And he went in and he told the prophet, he said, hey, today's not going to be a good day. We are surrounded. We're surrounded. And the Lord said, I pray that you would open up his spiritual eyes to see that those that are for us are more than those that are against us. And so he went back out and not only was he able to see the fleshly things of which was there, but he was also able to see an angelic host that was surrounding all of them. Amen. Praise God. So he was able to see those things. And that's what I wish sometimes that we could see is the enemy that is there, but also the angelic host that is for us. Praise God. But I'm talking about the imaginations that we begin to perceive within ourselves. I know so-and-so don't like me. That's an imagination that needs to be pulled down. Well, I know so-and-so has something against me. That's an imagination that needs to be pulled down. Well, I know that preacher, he was preaching straight at me. I possibly was, but I possibly is preaching to somebody else too. But if I was preaching to you, you probably needed it. And sometimes I'm preaching to myself because I know that I need it. Pray. I'm talking about those imaginations that we get to the place that we have built up with inside of ourselves, something that we can't be told anything about. Amen. That pulpit does not like me. The preacher does not like me. He can't stand me. Amen. You need to be able to pull those things down. Praise God. I think one of the greatest things that the enemy has got is the ability to work within our minds. And we have these things called assumptions. And we need to remember they aren't facts. It's not reality. It is an assumption. Well, I know that so-and-so doesn't like me because, I mean, as soon as I went, they turned around and they went the other way. At this point in time, that is an assumption. You say, well, it's happened 3 or 4 times. It is an assumption until it can be proven. What do they teach us in school? That we get a hypothesis and we form all of this, but yet we have to prove it. Well, glory to God. Amen. And so don't let the devil get hung up there in your mind and causing you to run and to have fear and trepidation, all these things ruling in your mind with all of these imaginations. They don't like me. They don't care for me. The preacher doesn't like me and all that. You've got to be able to cast down these imaginations, and you must remember that our battle and our war is a spiritual battle. We must never succumb our weapons, amen, in the spirit and lay them down and try to fight this fight in any other way. We still got to humble ourselves and pray. We got to make sure that we're doing everything that we can in a spiritual sense, because there is an enemy that's trying to tear us down spiritually. Praise God. Described Satan and his entrenchment and influence over the world. as its inhabitants and of its inhabitants being the gods of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Amen. Satan's desire is to blind you. Amen. Satan's desire is to handicap you. Amen. In the area of vision. Amen. He's got to be able to keep you from seeing things. And so you begin to say things like, I just don't see it. I just don't understand. I just don't get it. I'm not seeing that. But there's one way that you can oppose that. And you've got to get into the glorious gospel of God. For the Bible says, amen, that he has tried to blind the minds of those that would believe not, lest they should see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, and that it would shine unto them. There is nothing more powerful against the forces of hell than this glorious gospel. You gotta get back in the book. Don't just put in your feelings and opinions. Go back to the book. The devil's not afraid of false doctrine. The devil's not afraid of a lie. But what he is afraid of is the truth. He does not want you to get, understand, perceive, and see the truth. Praise God. If some of these areas are areas that you're fighting in, you've got to be able to recognize this. And you, amen, if you're sitting around at home and saying, well, I just don't understand. I just don't know why this and that. Let me just tell you what your answer is. If you don't understand something, get on the phone and text me or call me and say, I need a Bible study. I need some help. Because you know what? The devil wants to separate you and keep you off until you just spiritually die. And that's not the will of God. Amen. The way that you're going to overcome it is through the glorious gospel of Christ. Amen. You got to get in the book. We've got to shine the light of truth. We've got to magnify that truth that is there. Amen. And the devil cannot stand against the truth. All of you that have reached out to me, amen, we have worked through things. We have helped each other. You're here today not because of me, but because of the glorious gospel of truth. Amen. Praise God. God has been so good to each and every one of us. Amen. God has got a way that when the devil is nitpicking, when the devil is critiquing, when the devil, amen, is doing all of his things through his little imps, amen, the glorious gospel of Christ is able to break through and to shine through. Amen. And we can overcome him together. We can be overcomers. Amen. Being Christians and doing what God would have us to do. But we've got to be able to recognize so that we can resist the enemy. Praise God. Sometimes he's a lion and sometimes he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. But he's still the enemy. And we've got to recognize it so that we can resist it. And so Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. This is a spiritual thing, and there is no way that we're going to be able to walk through this world with physical armor on and just get a physical workout. But this is a spiritual war. And we've got to bear that in mind. We've got to have, as the Bible said, we've got to have our loins girt about with truth. And we have got to have on the breastplate of righteousness, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we've got to take the shield of faith, whereby we shall be able to quench every and all the fiery darts of the wicked. We've got to put on the helmet of salvation, and we've got to pick up the sword of the Spirit. But we cannot stand in la-la land. We've got to understand who the enemy is. We've got to understand his tactics and his ways. And we've got to be able to resist what he does unto us. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 He said that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There is no way that we are going to be able to stand against the devil with our own good deeds. But when we take unto us the whole armor of God, we shall be able to stand. Amen. That you may be able to withstand in that evil day. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And that is the bottom line of it. We have got to be able to recognize. I'm getting ready to bring this home of what I want to talk about here tonight. All of that's opening. Amen. But that was longer than anything else, all right? Because there are things that we fight on a day-to-day basis. There are things that we war against on a day-to-day basis. And we have discussed some of those. We have talked about every work of confusion. And that when you feel pressured to make a choice, but yet there's confusion that's there, you don't need to make a choice. And if you are made to make a choice, stand on the principle of right, number one. Number two, get those that are in authority in your life, spiritual authority in your life, get them involved. Praise God. Can I just give you a clue? That when you've got to do things without the pastor knowing, or so that to keep him from it, it's probably not correct. That's the enemy trying to move you to do something. We have already talked about all of this. I don't care if you go buy a new car, if you can afford it. But if you can't afford it, don't go do it. Those are called self-inflicted storms. So you don't have to. I know that there are preachers that are out there, and they want to know every time. If you get ready to buy a car, you need to come ask me if you can do it. It ain't my money. Yeah. Sometimes we just need a good dose of common sense. But there are things that affect us spiritually, and if it's going to affect us spiritually, then I need the spiritual leader in my life. I need their voice in that. You know, I have a pastor, and I call him and I talk to him and I say, how do you feel about this? What do you think about this? But beyond all of that, I can't tell you the number of times that I've even talked to Brother Worths. And I've said, hey, I got something I want to run by you. What do you think about this? Because in the council, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety that is involved in that. And I understand that this is a spiritual warfare, and it's not going to hurt to get some advice, to get some wisdom, to get a second opinion in it all, because many times it does not just affect me. Point at yourself and say that. It doesn't affect just me. It does not affect just you. It does not just affect me. We are a part of this thing called the body. And your decisions possess the capacity to affect the rest of the body. And the enemy is going to try to get you to make decisions that is going to hurt the body. Praise God. You know, here I am at my age and my weight, and I decided that this past Friday would be a good thing to go get on my stilts and to walk stilts almost all day on Friday, putting in ceilings like this. And you know what? I did it. I did it. But my feet still hurt, and it's Sunday night. But you know what? My feet have a way of communicating that to my brain. And because that my feet hurt so bad on Friday night, I did not sleep well. Don't think that your decisions only affect you. They're going to affect everybody. You can't just cut your finger off and throw it in the trash and it not affect the rest of the body. The rest of your body is going to be screaming at you saying, I don't like this decision that you just made. Praise God. But you see, that's the way that the enemy comes against us. The enemy comes against you, making you feel like you are unimportant. But since when can the foot say to the hand, I have no need of you? Everybody and everything is important into the house of God. Let's go a step further. Beyond all of that, there is this thing that we call having church. And the enemy likes to do his very best to disrupt service before service. Little spats with your spouse. Problems with the house. I ought to write a poem, huh? You have spats with your spouse and problems with your house. And these things are not just things. This is the devil trying to wreak havoc before church. He does not want you to come to church in a good mood. He doesn't want you to come to church in a prayerful mood. He doesn't want you to come to church in a worshiping mood. And so he's going to try to make you feel bad. I don't feel good. I'm tired. I don't feel like worshiping. We can never allow our feelings to predicate how we worship. We shouldn't. We should not. We should not allow our feelings to predicate how that we worship. Worship is a spiritual weapon against the enemy. I don't need to go into depth about this. Brother Narlach did it very well the other night. And he began to talk about, clap your hands unto the Lord and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Because anybody can clap their hands. Everybody can clap their hands. But not everybody can shout with triumph unto the Lord. And so, you know, we've got way more Bible about worship than we do about just sitting there. God gave us this weapon called worship that gives us the ability to overcome the devil. Why? Because you are taking the place that the devil used to occupy. He used to be in the heavens and he used to be worshiping the Lord God. But obviously some things got messed up there and he was cast out of the heavens and now he doesn't want you worshiping God. So can I say it like this without being too offensive? And that just simply is to not worship God in an atmosphere of such is to fit perfectly in the plan of the devil. To not worship God is to be obedient to his will rather than unto God's will. There is victory that comes through worship. When you clap your hands, that's the beginning of it. When you lift your voice, that is adding to it. And then we have all forms of demonstrative worship. Some may run the aisles. We do know that the Bible teaches us that we are to praise his name in the dance. And so we dance before the Lord, praising and magnifying his name. And there's all kinds of other things. But you understand that the crux, amen, of the enemy's agenda is to cause there to be no worship. And when there's only two or three that are trying to worship and everybody else is sitting back waiting to see if it's going to take off or not, we are causing the two or three to be pulled back. So how about we all recognize this and let's all work together to see the will of God fulfilled in every service. The devil doesn't want you to pray. Yeah. Doesn't want you to pray. I feel like this is just more effective. And so the devil is going to put 10,000 things upon your mind when it's time to pray. And you're going through your mind. Now, you're being a good little saint. Because we're sitting there saying, oh, I love you, Jesus. 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 Okay, got my to-do list broke for tomorrow. Okay. And our minds really aren't attached in prayer. We can get to the place that we can walk back and forth and never say anything. We can also get to the place that we sit there and never say anything. Or we kneel there and never say anything. You see, it's not the position. And I understand that there is reason behind some of that. But you understand it's not necessarily the position that I hold at the moment of prayer. It's, am I praying? Am I blocking everything else out? Am I focusing in on prayer? And am I praying like I need to pray? Say, well, how do I need to pray? Thank you for asking. Because this is what the Bible says, not the pastor. This is what the Bible says. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. That's what the Bible says. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's nothing wrong with lifting your voice when you begin to pray. As we begin to pray, you don't have to scream, you don't have to shout, but if you would, you'd probably scare everybody out. There you go, Henry. He's watching for my poems. All right? But I'm trying to get you to recognize that the enemy is not just outside writing your case day in and day out, trying to make you have a bad day, trying to get you to fall into fornication, adultery, or whatever, stuff like that, trying to get you to become a drunk, an alcoholic, a dope head. That's the lion. That's the lion. But sometimes there's a sheep or a wolf in sheep's clothing. And you've got to be able to recognize that just as much as you recognize and say, oh, I heard that lion. You've got to be able to recognize it so that you can resist. Because your adversary is seeking whom he may devour. He's not just picking on you for fun. He is trying his best to destroy you and to devour you in all forms and ways. Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 12, said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has been cast down or has come down to them. He no longer has a place in the heavens. This is where it is. I understand that there is a place somewhere that there is spiritual rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. I understand that he is the prince and the power of the atmosphere. I understand all that, but he's not in heaven. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath. Great wrath. We need to understand this, and I'm closing here tonight. We need to understand this. This is not a pity party. And this ain't a party. And this isn't patty caking for Jesus. This is eternity on stake, on the line. This is life or death. This is heaven or hell. This is eternity. This is saved or lost. And the enemy is focused and determined to get you to be lost. He doesn't care if you've had the Holy Ghost for 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, or 55 years.
It matters not to him. 65. He doesn't care. He's not interested in your resume. He just wants to see you fall. And so the terminology that is used here in Revelations 12 and 12, that he has come down unto us having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. This is what it means. Who's going to be my example here? Come on, Brother Gavin. All right. When the enemy comes down having great wrath, this is what it means. He's right here on your case. He wants you to feel his presence. He doesn't want you to think, to consider at any given time, is the devil still there or not? No. He wants you to know. It means like breathing down your neck. That's what it means. Having great wrath. It's a passion of breathing. Breathing down your neck. He wants you to feel his hot displeasure on you every moment of the day. Because he knows, I've got limited time to work on this guy. And so, buddy, I want you to recognize that when you wake up in the morning, I am on your tail. And as you go about at work and wherever you are, I'm still there. I'm not going anywhere. And when you go into the house of God, if you let me, I'm going in with you. That's what it means. What I'm simply saying is, there is always a need to resist. Say, well, how do I know it? Just keep the principles of God about you. What is right? What would God have me do? Whoever coined that phrase, they stole it from me. Not necessarily, but I wished I would have made it up. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus have me do? Because there's times that the devil wants to plop down right beside you. And sometimes he doesn't have to say a word. He's just as a roaring lion, intimidating. Go ahead, you big hypocrite. You know what you did this week. Go ahead. Just staring in defiance. Is that what Jesus would want you to do? Just sit there? No, Jesus is saying, come on. Let's get it correct. Let's get it right now. That way you can feel the liberty and the blessing and the strength of the service and stuff. Come on, let's do that. And the enemy is just sitting there antagonizing and daring. Go ahead. I dare you. Breathing down your neck. Trying to remind you of all your failures. Trying to remind you all this. Your toe hurts. I don't need you to remind me that my toe hurts. I'm just saying everything, anything. And church, we have a job to do. It's to see the lost saved. And there's something that we cannot forget or we cannot go past. What happens in this place? Sinners or no sinners? Guest, no guest? Lost or no one lost? What happens in this place has an eternal effect. It does. You say, well, I can't see that. You got to look. There's war going on. There's war going on in the atmosphere. Daniel's like, well, I don't see an answer. Because there's war going on in the atmosphere.
And you just got to keep praying. You got to keep pushing. You got to keep worshiping. You got to keep bombarding. And together as a body, as the church collectively, we've got to come together to do this. And when we do this, we begin to win. And all of these forces begin to crumble. And they begin to fall apart. And then all of a sudden, here comes a sinner. Here comes a guest. Here comes somebody. Somebody's going to get baptized. Amen. I'm just telling you right now, we have got home Bible studies that are being taught. Amen. We've got Bible studies that are in week 10 right now. Amen. We've got Bible studies that have been going on for months right now. And you say, well, I don't see that. Then somebody needs to pray. Somebody needs to get a hold of the throne of God, because there's something between here and there that is thwarting what God wants to do. What does God want to do? He wants to add to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's stand here tonight. And we, as the body of Christ, we've got to be able to recognize this. That when we came into this place at 6 o'clock tonight, there was war that was ready to be waged. Spirits of tiredness, spirits of you name it, came in. And I'm not going to beat around the bush here tonight. I'm just going to tell you exactly how I feel. I feel like we are up against, I don't know what it is, but I'll just say, I feel like we are up against a principality. I don't believe this is just a little skirmish, that this is just a little blip in the road. But you understand that there is a revival that we desire and that we want, and it's on the other side of what we're fighting right now. And so we can sit here and we can twiddle our thumbs. We can turn around and go back to a place that we once inhabited and say, oh, ain't God good, and be R4 and no more. Or we can buckle down and we can push through and we can break through what is going on right now in the spirit. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I cannot divulge unto you all of the things that's going on in the spiritual world. But there are some of you that are fighting such intense battles of infirmity. The doctors don't even know what's going on. I'm telling the body so that the body can understand. There are people in this place tonight that have been to the doctors, and the doctors can't even find out what's going wrong with them. Don't even know. But you don't know this. But we've got to understand this. There are things that people just can't get over. Infirmity, spiritual sicknesses, not spiritual, but just regular sicknesses that they can't get over. It's easy to bluff that off and to say, oh, well, that's just this or that. I could buy that if it was one or two. But when it's multiple people, when it's consistent things happen, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody whatsoever at all, but I have looked at Brother Chuck and Sister D, and I have seen all the things that they have gone through and all of the things in their life, and I have sat there and just, God, somehow or another, help them. But you know what it is? The devil doesn't want you to make it. And he's going to try to beat you and beat you and beat you until you say, I quit. But you've got a church body that's standing around. You say, we ain't going to let you quit. It's just one thing after another. Constantly. We've had people that have secured home Bible studies. That have gotten Bible studies. And they sit down to teach them. And then all of a sudden the job moves them. About. The devil doesn't like what we're doing. The devil doesn't like what's going on here at New Life. And you know what? We have worked together as a body. We have collectively come together. We have given and given and given. We've had two different fundraisers where well over $20,000
was raised. We have invested $80,000 and got returns on it. We're investing more now. We're putting our feelers out. We're ready to take this to the next level. And the devil knows that. And so the devil is locking up everything that he can possibly lock up. I'm not here to blame everything on the devil. But sometimes when you stop, step back, and you look at it, there is no other answer. And so what are we going to do as a church? We're going to buckle down. We're going to pray. We're going to fast. And we're going to see what God will do in all of this. Amen?
Amen.
I've told all of these that are on second shift because simply because... Can I just be transparent and honest? I feel like I'm up here sometimes teaching on a Wednesday trying to help the church and half the church ain't here. I don't know why some people don't think it's important to come to church. God's trying to help us because God sees a bigger picture in all of this. So I told all these young men that are on second shift, and we got more going to second shift. I said, at some point in time, sometime around Tuesday, I want you here at the church praying. Whether it's at 7 a.m. in the morning, right before you go to work, I want you to come pray. We all come. We all come. So I said, you know what? You can come. You know what they did? They came. What, 2 o'clock in the morning? Said, I want you getting online, and I want you listening to the messages. I don't want you left behind. I want you right up here with us. Because I want revival. I want revival. And I'm going to be as intense as I've got to be. I didn't say I was going to be mean. If you feel like I'm being mean to you, you're probably on the wrong side. Because I'm going to be mean to the devil. We got to have revival. This isn't about just us and no more. We don't have a baptistry sitting over there just for something pretty or something traditional. It's for more people to come in and to be filled with the Spirit. And so we got to pray. Would somebody help me? Would somebody realize, recognize, and understand that it's time to resist the devil? Would somebody step out and commit and say, you know what, pre-service prayer isn't going to be the quiet game anymore? Would somebody step out and say, you know what, worship service isn't just going to be a tradition. It's going to be warfare. Recognizing so that we can resist. This is not the Lions Club. Oh, yeah. I'm not ridiculing. I'm just simply saying this is war. This is a spiritual warfare that is going on. I understand and know it's church, but it's not just traditional church. Something going on in the spirit that I've got to see beyond, that I've got to push through, that I've got to break through so that I can see the will of God accomplished not only in me but in my church.